we watched Fear Factor for so long.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Talk that talk, Sydney. Come on. Think you telling me Joe Rogan isn't slightly responsible for the coronavirus?
Are you saying that on the record or off the record?
This is on the record. That buff motherfucker has to have played a part in the coronavirus. If you're telling me that eating things that we're not supposed to eat is how you get these diseases, then I have to believe that Joe Rogan making a bunch of white people eat Madagascan cockroaches is going to lead to a potential deadly disease. Also, he's mixing that with muscle milk. He's telling people to eat cockroaches and then drink it down with muscle milk. That's going to create something weird. Uh-oh, there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another spectacular, devastating, oh, stunning episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of Black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that that little boy from Blackish is, in fact, one of Omarosa's horcruxes. Yes, he absolutely is a part of her soul. Don't you dare try to be fooled by all that dancing and that charming little smile. That bastard is part of Omarosa's spirit that she cut off and is using to indoctrinate the Black community. I believe it, and I'll fight every day to prove it. I'm your host, Langston Kerman. As always, I'm coming in hot today, baby. Not only because it's a good day, but partly because I'm at my friend's house. I can't record in my own home because I just found out that coax cables don't just come standard in homes. You know, the cable that you plug your modem into? They don't just show up everywhere. You got to kind of earn that, I guess. You got to get somebody to come in and fix it for you. So I'm struggling. I'm using a different man's Wi-Fi, which... that doesn't make you feel powerful as a person, but here we are, and I'm enjoying it. I'm excited because today we have a spectacular guest. I bet she has 3 or 4 coax cables in her house. She has that kind of power, that kind of resource, that kind of sway in the industry. Her home is filled with coax cables. She's amazing. She's hilarious. She maybe is one of my biggest bullies on the internet. You know her from her wonderful podcast called Unofficial Expert. You know her from Comedy Central. You know her from just being hilarious around town and on the internet. Oh, and Sid Can Cook. Do not forget about Sid Can Cook every Sunday. You know her from all the things. Give it up for my guest, Miss Sydney Washington. Yeah. Hey. How are you?
No, I'm so proud of you. You got a podcast. This is great. I don't like you calling me a bully. All I do is uplift you.
I don't know that that's true at all. I think I think you've been very unkind to me in a multitude of spaces.
All I say is great. Thank you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad we're friends. And if you ever need to borrow some Wi-Fi from me, let me know, man.
Okay. If I ever need to borrow some Wi-Fi, I can just holler at you and you'll take care of that.
I'll take care of it. I'll put it on my tab.
Okay. And if I'm understanding you correctly, you're not even on your own Wi-Fi right now. Am I understanding that correctly? You're on someone else's Wi-Fi?
Someone else's Wi-Fi. Yes. I'm visiting. I'm in LA. I'm usually in New York, but I'm in LA right now. And but I feel like this person's Wi-Fi is also my Wi-Fi. We share Wi-Fi. Yeah.
This is an extended family of Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Family. And naturally, you have no problem extending that family even further to me, should I be in need.
Absolutely. Family is family.
It's a beautiful proverb. And it's one I like to go back to every evening. And I'm glad that you're extending it to me. I'm excited.
I think you're ready for a commercial, right? That was like, that's like right on the nose with like AT&T. T-Mobile. Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, if Verizon. AT&T, if one of those horrible companies that are attached to the prison labor want to call me and ask me to say some nice things about their Wi-Fi, I'll happily do it.
Okay.
I don't care that y'all have slaves.
Oh,
I will talk kindly about your Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? maybe slavery is necessary for good Wi-Fi. I don't know. I'm not a learned man. I just know they have slaves and they have fantastic Wi-Fi.
We love these facts. Together. Is this a conspiracy theory or a fact? Is this a Langston fact, or is this do you know for a fact that they have slaves?
I know for a fact that a number of those companies that you listed use prison labor as part of their resourcing and are invested in private prisons. Do you want to call that slavery? I don't know. How woke are you, Sydney? How comfortable are you being on the other side of capitalism?
I mean, we all have cell phones, though. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what plan are you on? Are you sending a messenger bird? Like, don't say all this shit about these companies, but still use it. Don't be Hotep, Langston.
Oh, no. I absolutely will be Hotep, and I absolutely will be a complete walking contradiction. Mm. I am 100. Listen, let me say this carefully and explicitly. I will happily continue to use these products while simultaneously pointing out that they have flawed mission statements and flawed misuses of their products.
Heard you.
Okay. As long as we're being clear.
Okay. But I just feel like the energy that you pushing off is I'm a bad person because I low key promoted them. And now you're
No, this isn't about you at all. This is just me calling out the mean man who I also will call daddy later. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't fight it. This is where we're at. I'm excited today. You sent a conspiracy theory that I think might be one of the most classic in all of Black history, mm-hmm. that like if anybody were to ask what is the most quintessential Black conspiracy theory, you nailed it. And you said, my mama told me.
AIDS was created by the government to eliminate the Blacks.
The Blacks. I said the Blacks. Blacks. I did put that in the Blacks.
You were very clear.
As I am a part of the Blacks. I didn't want to say the Blacks, like I'm not a part of it. We're all
sure. The Blacks was not you pushing away from your people. It was more of just the way that I assume the government would refer
yes,
to.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
That's fair. And now, right. Okay, this is exciting because now we're getting into the classics, baby. Mm-hmm. And is this a classic that you subscribe to?
All right, so on the record, right?
This is all on the record.
On the record. No. Off the record is like, you know, if they try to cut this podcast up, and I'm like, I said off the record. So this
I got you.
You know what I mean? On the record, they promoted as like AIDS was hitting the Black and Latino communities so hard, right? Mm-hmm. But then when we do the marches and when we do the like the movie Philadelphia, who had AIDS? White people. If it was just Blacks and Latinos that were highly affected, they wouldn't have been raising that much money. So that's
I see what you're doing.
So that's what I really think. I think that they made Blacks the face of it, but overall it was really wiping out the beige and the Caucasians, and that's why they were like, let's raise this money.
I got you. Well, as a beige, I'm devastated to hear that my people are being wiped out. But this is also, okay, this is a fascinating take on the issue, right? Because right. what you're suggesting is that Black people are merely front-facing for this issue. We're not, it's not so much that we are experiencing it so much more than everyone else, but that they want us to believe that we're experiencing it more than everyone else. Because they want it to be a Black and brown problem. Is that what you mean?
Right. It's a scare tactic. It's saying, well, you guys are out here. You're doing drugs the most. You're the most gay. Because at first it was like, oh, well, only like gay people were getting AIDS. And then they realized like, oh, it's like blood transfusions. Like anybody, mm-hmm. like drugs. It's not just a sexuality thing. Anybody can get it. So, but if they put that on the community, right. then it makes you feel less inclined to actually be proud of who you are. You're like, oh, well, all my people are getting AIDS like that? Well,
right.
Damn.
See, that's the problem. They're not pitching AIDS as something tight. Mm-hmm. They could be like, AIDS is dope and everybody's getting it. Look at you, the gays, the the whites, we're all, everybody's enjoying some AIDS, but instead they made it a horrible thing that only black and brown people were and gay people were being attached to.
Right. I mean, and then you watch the movie Philadelphia and you just see so many of the themes in the movie, like, oh, it is about the gays.
Yeah.
We are going to put it on the gays, but then you see this white man that you're like, oh, he is relatable. He is human. Now we care. And we have Denzel Washington is like, oh, the strong black lawyer that you're like, oh, finally we get to see him the way that we want to see black people. But he's low key, like, homophobic.
Yeah. and he like, was super homophobic in that moment.
I said low key, but it was high key. It was high key, low key homophobia.
He was pretty loud about it. He did very not loud. Like the gays.
Very, very loud. So
do you remember in that movie, Antonio Banderas and Tom Hanks are hooking up?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, I mean, progressive as fuck movie.
Yeah.
But we needed to see that movie for us to realize, oh, but when white people get AIDS, like, we should care. It's not a bad thing. Oh, look how people are treating them so poorly.
Right.
But that's
okay. Because he was like a big fancy lawyer. Mm-hmm. He was all the story that white people sort of associate with, like, a clean life,
yes,
and a life without trials and tribulation.
Right.
And here we see Tom Hanks at sort of like his most successful, at least in movies and television that we've seen him, also being afflicted with this terrible disease.
Absolutely. And that is when they turned it around. And they were like, oh, yes, it is happening to the Black and Latinos, but now we should actually do something about it and care.
And see, that's where they did it even more fucked up, because Tom Hanks was smushing into Antonio Banderas in that movie, and they forced another Latinx person
to
be associated with a disease that otherwise, in this situation, should just be about the white man.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hear your tone, and I hear you on the record. Off the record, yes.
Uh-huh.
But on the record, I'm like, I hear you. You see what I did
you
there?
You have your listening ears open on the record, but off the record, you fucking with
Yes.
Okay, you zoned in on the record. I get that. Let's just keep tracking this throughout. Okay. I want you to keep telling me whether these feelings are on the record or off the record throughout the whole of the podcast. That way we know what you really fuck with and what you have to present you fuck with so that, you know, these whites don't turn on you.
I love that you're light-skinned mansplaining my bit. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Let's make it a gendered issue, too. I would like for you at any point to tell me when I have overstepped my position and have turned this into another example of the patriarchy at work.
Yeah.
Feel free.
I see you got your little-ass podcast. Now you want to explain my fucking jokes, Langston. I see what you're doing over there.
Well, if you explain them better yourself,
oh, wow,
I wouldn't have to get up in here and do it a second time. Now, that's just facts.
Anyway,
men are funnier than women. No,
okay,
let me ask you this.
Yes.
Because I think what you're getting into is very interesting. I'm bought in, right?
Right.
But let me ask you this. From whom did you first hear this conspiracy theory? Where do you think the source material actually came from for you?
I do want to say that it came from, I won't say necessarily my mother, but like mother adjacent. Like I'm listening into conversations of like grown folks that are like Ramona, which is her first name, Ramona Marie. Y'all don't have to black that out. She knows that I talk about her on the podcast.
She knows who she is. She knows what she did.
Yes, she knows. But adults that have these conversations, when they think that kids are not listening, they do talk about that and how, I mean, I was born in Harlem when the crack epidemic was at its highest. And
oh, shit.
So not only did I know about the crack, but also the AIDS. So I constantly, like, getting older, like not an adult, but just being a kid and knowing, like, I moved to California because there were so much drugs in my neighborhood and because of, I don't think necessarily AIDS, but mainly because of the drugs. They're like, if you go and live in Oakland, California, you'll be able to be a kid and have a kid's life.
Well, you're hitting on something really fascinating, because even in them talking about AIDS and them talking about sort of like this very terrible disease, mm-hmm. right? You're dealing with a second type of framing. So you're dealing with the drug epidemic that's happening in your community. And that's the scary thing that everybody's talking about, mm-hmm. which means that AIDS sort of finds itself at best in a number two position.
Right.
Where it's not the most dangerous thing that's happening when it might have been an equally dangerous issue mm-hmm. or, you know, sort of pandemic that exists in your community.
I mean, it's hard to talk about this because there could have possibly been somebody in my family that was like gay. And when people did talk about AIDS, and also being gay, it's like, they're both a bad thing.
Right.
It's not good. But also like being gay and having AIDS is worse than drugs.
Right.
Right. Cause like I could have had one family member that was on crack and then the other family member was gay. And they're like, I'd rather you be on crack because then we can fix that.
Right.
We can fix you. You can get off of crack.
Right.
But you can't get off the dick and you can't fix AIDS. So this is all off the record. What I just said, that was off the record.
That dick is too addictive. Yeah. We can't get you off that. But crack, we can send you somewhere. We can clean you up.
Yeah.
God damn, that delicious dick.
Yeah.
No beating it.
Off the record. Yeah.
Off the record. But dick is fantastic is apparently what we're hearing.
Yes.
Okay. So that's very interesting because that means it's such a complicated layering of the things that sort of we struggle with in Black communities, mm-hmm. right? Is it's never a single issue.
No.
When white people are being hit with like the opioid crisis right now, they're able to treat it like a singular issue. We are doing too many pills and we need to stop doing pills and we will set up programs to stop people from doing pills. Suddenly the crisis goes away. But for Black people, you're dealing with poverty, you're dealing with drugs, you're dealing with violence, you're dealing with all these other
racism,
just general racism that mm-hmm. probably led to all the things that were listed, right? Mm-hmm. And so you subsequently are never able to just be free of the singular issues because all of them are layered on top of each other.
Right. And then didn't they, at first they were saying like AIDS was really prevalent in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the AIDS hit Africa first and then it came to the United States? Or was it like it started in Africa, but then blew up in America, but then went back to Africa? Like what was it? Was it on tour? Was AIDS on tour? I'm trying to get this correct.
AIDS is on a 50 city tour, international, mm-hmm. and it made its stops. But, you know, like many artists, it hit big in certain cities, certain okay. towns, much like, you know, the Beatles or your Jay-Z's, if you will.
You said AZ, that AIDS was Jay-Z.
AIDS and Jay-Z, they yeah. sound similar. I'm going to say they're the same. I don't know if you remember this. I definitely remember hearing it as a kid because I never knew where AIDS came from.
Right.
The origin story that we used to always spread at school was that somebody had fucked a monkey.
Monkey, yep. In yeah, Africa.
That in Africa. And in all of the continent of Africa, there was never any specificity
no,
around
Africa.
Where in Africa. But generally, an African person fucked a monkey and then created AIDS. And in fact, did you hear it was an African person?
No, we just know that it was a man that uh-huh. fucked a monkey. And that's
100% how a man.
AIDS started.
Yeah. I think, as I'm thinking about it, and the reason I asked that question, a part of me thinks maybe I heard that it wasn't an African person, but that also could have been that Chappelle bit that's very funny where
right.
he's like fucking Chim Chim and he yes. feels it like a banana.
Well, this is going to be another off the record thing. But if we're just like historically looking at the beige man,
uh-huh.
I think they would be more likely to have sex with a monkey than
sure.
An African-American.
Right. Certainly a Black person.
Yeah.
I would assume the Black people that lived in the area where AIDS was first created mm-hmm. or sort of at least transitioned They had seen monkeys before.
They were called monkeys. So then they, right. Like, well, I don't just see them like being in Africa, fucking their cousin.
Right. You don't see a monkey every single day and be like, I don't know what it is today, but this one looks sexy as fuck.
Right.
It's the person that goes there and is like on vacation and it's like, I want to try something different. And then
I want to put corn rolls with little beads at the ends, you know? Uh-huh. And then I want to fuck a monkey.
I want to fuck a monkey.
That's what they do when they're on vacation, is it not? It happens in the Bahamas all the time. Right, Sharon?
I want to get my hair braided. I want to buy weed from a person who doesn't sell weed. Mm-hmm. And I want to fuck a monkey.
Yeah.
These are the normal vacation behaviors that white people have participated in for generations.
Yeah.
And so let's agree it was a white person who fucked that monkey.
Yeah. But in order for, I mean, do you know the numbers of how many people were actually killed from AIDS during the epidemic?
Not offhand.
Okay.
No, this ain't a research podcast.
Yeah. They said that you were going to do the hard work. So I figured that you were going to hit me with some statistics, some numbers, like.
Oh, I will, but I saved that for the second act. You're out here asking for it just to be available to you, and I think that's unfair.
I'm sorry.
And if there's a woman splaining, I think you're doing that.
Ooh, no such thing.
We don't, off the record, we don't do, I think you're doing the wrong thing.
We don't do such a thing. We give you enough time to talk and explain. That's usually what women do.
I feel differently as a person that lives with a woman currently.
Oh, it's different. You're married. This is not. She's helping you, if anything.
Okay. Yeah. This is help that she's providing.
Absolutely.
So when I'm being picked at and held captive for the choices that I'm making, this is a person bettering me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Glad we cleared that up, because it feels like I'm in prison. But I hear now that maybe jail is good for me, that this is going to reform me. This is going to allow me to be a better person.
Is this great on the record or off the record?
I'd say it's off the record, but I've lost track of what the rules are for on the record and off the record.
Okay. Because you weren't listening. That's your fault. That's
I wasn't listening. I was too busy mansplaining, and I've learned a lot today. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with more Sydney Washington and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
We're back here with more Sydney Washington and more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about that gruesome AIDS virus and where it came from and the possibility that was all started by a man who fucked a monkey, a white man, a beige man, as Sydney calls him, who had sex with a monkey. I don't know if that's true. I think after a while, that got refuted pretty quickly. I think white people didn't like that as a potential spreader. You know what I mean? As a potential source of where this came from.
But they also didn't want us to know that it was hitting them harder than what we were, the information that we were getting.
Right. That this was, for a while, just exclusively black and brown people.
Yeah, because then you go to the walks, you go to the AIDS walk, and it's like all these white people with quilts of their friends.
Right.
And it's like, your friends also look like you. So y'all, we're all at this, and it's, I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people walking for AIDS. And I'm not saying that black people don't walk, but we were not at those walks like that.
And that's where it gets complicated, is were we not invited to those walks?
Mm.
Or were we invited and we just don't have the numbers that y'all have for these walks? One way or the other, something tricky is happening here.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. So I did some research. I dug into some research that I'm now ready to talk to you about.
Let's get
not like it. Before when you were just trying to throw it at me. I'm ready to talk to you about the research I found now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love for you to do, what I'd love to happen, is I share some research and you give me your thoughts on it.
Okay.
The interesting part of this research that really starts off in a weird way is that they start off by talking about, every article I read at least talks about AIDS in the African-American community, which I don't know if that word bothers you or that term bothers you as much as it does for me, but I typed in like, how does AIDS affect Black people? And then they're like, African Americans suffer from AIDS at this number. And it's like, that feels like a white person came in and fixed this. Does that make sense?
But also, it does sound problematic for them to just call us Black. The Blacks. Blackie. Like, it just, you know, it's a, they say African American, so they don't sound as racist as it comes off their tongue.
Oh, see, I take it the opposite way, in that African American feels like a long way for them to call me nigger over tea. This feels jarring in a way that I don't care for. But I will agree to disagree about this one.
Okay, keep going. Keep going.
So the first real case of AIDS, as we know it, came in June of 1981, right? Mm-hmm. But before then, there were plenty of cases that probably were people dying or suffering from the AIDS virus, but they didn't know it as such. They were actually calling it like a super pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's dying is like getting this super pneumonia or whatever they were calling it back then. And it wasn't until later that they discovered like, oh shit, this actually might be its own disease and not just, you know, somebody with a bad cold kind of thing.
When you think about it, we just listen and it's like AIDS and Corona is so close.
There's a lot of crossover, and it really all comes down to who's willing to wear a mask, a penis mask or a mouth mask, you know?
And you see who's not wearing a mask.
And you see who's not wearing a mask and who's having protests outside about not wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And literally entire white cities are shutting down about not wearing masks. Black people, if we're not wearing masks, we kind of just do it privately. Yeah, we ain't making a big funk about it. It's just like, nah, I'm not going to wear it. I'm going to hang out with whoever I'm comfortable with.
Off the record, I'm going to say that's not true, because I've seen, I don't know if I could say this, but niggas on the gram going live at a club in Atlanta, and nobody had a mask on. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if that was like right to say, but listen, I just, off the record, I was like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people just, I was like, baby, where do you live? Florida. Oh, that's why Florida is very prevalent with a corona, because they just got hookah everywhere.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, it's devastating to hear you throw Black people under the bus. And then, number two, I hate that you hate your own people.
You needed balance.
I hate that you hate Black people so much. But obsessed. That's fine. The number two, what I will say is that I totally agree that we are 100% being irresponsible in our behaviors with corona. But I think the difference is we ain't making this everybody's problem. This is just some shit that we're going to do. If you decide to be a part of it, great. If you decide not to be a part of it, go home, nigga. I'm about to get some pussy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not tripping about like making this some sort of like march on the streets about how this is taking away my rights, in part because Black people haven't had the right to be that free in the first place.
But I also want to say, in terms of corona, I can talk to so many people who they know somebody who died of corona. People were dying of corona. When they were saying how the like AIDS epidemic was happening, I did not know that many people who were dying of AIDS.
Sure. You were also five. So
they probably wasn't telling me. You're right.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't like you were hanging out with kids at the playground who were
parents, the way, and I grew up with like old Black people, like over 65, the way they talk, you were gonna know. You know he died of that thing.
It got him.
what was it? Uh-huh. But when you hear that language, you know later on, Sylvester died of AIDS. Okay, sure. Got it. Yeah. That's what it was.
R.I.P. Sylvester.
Yeah. If they died of drugs, we know that. They won't have no problem saying that they died of drugs.
They'll say the drug. Yeah. They'll say the crack. But if it's that dangerous word of AIDS, now we're in a different conversation.
Right.
Well, it's fascinating you say that, because some of the research that I found, because there's a bunch of studies that basically try to figure out where this conspiracy theory comes from. Mm-hmm. And a big response that people are having about the misunderstandings around AIDS, or certainly like the conspiracies around AIDS, are rooted in a distrust of the government, that Black and brown people don't naturally trust the government and therefore are not believing the suggestions that the government makes about the best ways of dealing with any pandemic. That, like, just because y'all said it's the correct way of handling things doesn't mean it actually is correct, because there's a history here of y'all telling us stuff is correct and it not being.
Right.
And so, like, there's a bunch of examples throughout history of, like, I tried to dig up things that the government had done to Black and brown people. And one of the biggest things that sort of comes out is, obviously, you have your Tuskegee syphilis experiments. Yes. Where yes. They did all that awful shit by basically testing these syphilis, literally the fucking disease, on Black people and just letting it kill them. But then you have all these examples of sterilization in Black and brown communities, that, like, either after pregnancy or during pregnancy or at the age that they are even available to have kids, Black and brown people being made sterile by their physician because they are considered, you know, not ready to have a baby for whatever reason. Oof.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I can say that it is a conspiracy theory, the whole, like, how AIDS was created and who was it for. But the way things work, it affects everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a racial thing.
It's not a racial thing.
It only becomes a racial thing if it's propaganda. For me.
Yes, exactly. Hold on.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you, because now you're talking something that I truly believe. I don't know 100% that AIDS was engineered in a lab by an evil white man who then distributed it in the Black community. I'm right. Not sure that I'm bought into that. But what I am bought into is the very real possibility that they are intentionally creating a mistrust, a distrust with the government and Black and brown people, so that they can continue to grow AIDS or grow these negative diseases in our community. That so long as we don't trust each other, there's never going to be any real education around prevention and health in these communities. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense, because when we had, like, the war on drugs, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, why is there a liquor store on every other corner? And where are they getting the guns? And how are they making the drugs? How are they getting the drugs? And it's like, yeah, that I do believe that somebody was pushing it in the communities. But then it's like, if we think it's the man doing this, then how do we stop it? Mm-hmm. And then the propaganda fucks up your head, and you there's no solutions. There's just us talking about what it could possibly be and not fixing the issue.
Exactly. And I would argue, I think they like being the man. To your point, I think that there's a part of the white community that truly wants to remain the man in this situation, because it enables a power for them and then also enables us to kill ourselves for their benefit. That, like, so long as the man exists, we can't actually fix the problem. And if we can't fix the problem, like you said, they get paid $13,000 a body for some reason.
Yeah. And if at the time, like, oh, AIDS is through sex, and it's like stopping us or scaring us to have sex. Mm-hmm. And we can't comfortably have sex, or we're having sex because, ooh, we're not supposed to be having sex.
Right.
So when they were having these programs of sex education and making it like, you should be waiting to have sex, everybody is having sex because mm-hmm. you're telling us not to.
And I'll go a step further. I don't know how you feel, but the times I want pussy the most is when somebody says, you can't have pussy. That's when I get the most excited about it.
Well, off the record, that sounds very man of you. As a woman, when I hear somebody doesn't want to have sex, that's when I say, it's time to go to bed. You know?
Okay, so. Well, now you're making it a consent argument, and I feel like a monster.
Yes.
I think I was thinking more in terms of society, but you made this specifically about consent, and I want to be clear for my listeners that I'm not a rapist. I'm not a rapist. That's not what this podcast
honey,
is about. That's
honey,
a different podcast.
Honey, you said it. It came off your tongue. You
All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back with more Sydney Washington and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. We're back here with more Sydney Washington, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about that pesky AIDS virus and where it comes from and why white people want us to believe that it's killing Black and brown people. Do you still feel like your community is having the same fights that it was when you were a kid? Is Harlem still sort of like in the midst of the same sort of like battle that it was in when you were a child?
No, it's gentrified as fuck. It's right. Gentrified. I mean, when they put the Whole Foods there, when they put the Red Lobster there, I was like, oh wow, they really cleaned up the place. And then I realized, oh, Beyonce made that song and talked about the biscuits and you know why people know about it. And now they took Red Lobster from us. And sure. Then all of a sudden there was like a gap in all these different stores. And it's like, oh, if this is not for us, they're cleaning up 125th Street for the Alabasters. So mm-hmm. No, we don't. There's not as much crime and there's not as much. Well, they said that New York has a high level of crime right now, but that's because, you know, people weren't working for a long time and, you know, the cops and, but
right.
I will say that Harlem is not Harlem anymore. I mean, it is white people everywhere. The culture is seeping out of our hands. Every year I used to live in Harlem, like 6 years ago, and I lived in a brownstone, and everybody in the building was Black. When I left, mm-hmm. Everyone was white.
Wow.
My fault?
So that quickly.
Well, I will blame myself. My roommate was white and took over my apartment, and then she invited another white person to live on the second floor. It was my fault. I gentrified my own building, but I'm just saying.
Oh, man. You introduced the seed. You were the virus that ate the white blood cells that destroyed everything in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is patient zero for gentrification that we're speaking to this afternoon. And it's devastating.
I am AIDS. Sorry.
I am AIDS. I think we should make that the title.
No,
of the
you are
I
not.
Am AIDS with Sydney Washington. Okay.
I hate you.
I want to play a game with you, and this is a very fun game that I like mm-hmm. to call white lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
Okay, white lies. It's a fun game where I am going to introduce to you a conspiracy theory widely held in the white community. Mm-hmm. And then I would like for you to unpack why you believe that white people care about this conspiracy so much. What do you think this offers to them? What are these sneaky motherfuckers up to? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, check it out. Here's your conspiracy theory to unpack. White people, for years, you're familiar with the Chicago Fire. For years, white people have claimed that the Chicago Fire was started by a cow owned by Mrs. O'Leary, Catherine O'Leary, was started by a cow kicking over an oil lantern. And then that oil lantern leading to these massive fires across like 3,000 acres of Chicago. Why do you think that white people are so committed to this argument that Catherine O'Leary's cow is the cause of the Chicago fire?
Who's Catherine O'Leary?
Just a lady who had a cow in her backyard.
They just named anybody. It was Catherine O'Leary.
Catherine O'Leary, she was a real lady. She wasn't
It's a real lady, but it just...
Yeah.
Right there, when you start off with the name, boom, mm-hmm. I don't believe you.
Wait.
Catherine O'Leary had a cow. It sounds like a fable.
Okay.
Long, long time ago, Catherine O'Leary had a cow and the cow kicked over the and the cow kicked over the moon. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. I mean, they have to believe in this because they don't want to be seen as terrible people.
Okay. I'm listening.
I mean, when you look at Rosewood, when you look at the, you know, Black Wall Street, when them tearing down our communities because of race. When you hit them with those facts, they're like, ooh, that shows them how trash they are. So right. So we can't really pinpoint how these fires started. If you say something outrageous, like this cow kicked over this thing and the fire started, we can't say that, oh, white people started this fire to tear down Chicago from the Black community.
You're saying that there could have been something more sinister happening here.
Yes.
And they tried to cuten it up by being like, oh, it was a cow that kicked over the lantern and not one of us that did that. You know what makes it even more fascinating? Because I think at that time, Chicago, at least the sections that burned, or at least part of what burned, was a predominantly white community. But here's what's fascinating. Catherine O'Leary is an Irish name. And at the time that this cow kicks over this lantern, quote unquote, Mrs. O'Leary's cow, the Irish were the niggas of the Americas, right? Okay. That like they were the people that white people detested almost as much as they detested us. Not quite as much because they never made them slaves.
Or hung them from trees.
They just yelled at them a lot and told them they couldn't work at places. Mm-hmm. But I think that a part of it was like, well, okay, there were no Black people around, so we'll just blame it on this Irish lady and her stupid cow.
Okay, maybe you're right. I mean, I have never even heard of that story until right now. So the story, dumb as hell, but
it's not a good story.
No,
it's not for one of the biggest fires in history to burn down an entire city.
I will tell you that, like, the smallest fire can turn into something big. I know this because I burned my house down as a child. And it was just a small, like me lighting a fake cigar that was plastic. It caught on fire. It melted into a bag of newspapers that I was so unaware. I did not know that these bags were there. And then 30 minutes later, the whole front of the house is just in flames.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I can't.
Did you burn it to the point that it was unlivable? Like all could not live there anymore?
No, we couldn't live there. We had to relocate to our cousin's house and stay there for almost a year. So
you in essence are Mrs. O'Leary. You are this person who may or may not be responsible for it, but that people were going to place blame on no matter what.
Yeah,
for what happened?
Yeah, so I'm like, honestly, I was like, you know what, that the cow probably did it. Cow did it.
Don't blame Catherine.
I'm a fucking cow. My bad.
Well, here's the craziest part is you said you lit this play cigar. You put it in a pile of newspapers.
No, I didn't put it in. Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that. Get the story right. It melted into a bag of newspapers. Accident. Okay. It was an accident. It was an accident.
It was an accident that allegedly, you may not have been associated with, but we'll presume that you weren't.
Allegedly.
Let's just go there. Allegedly.
Yeah.
That melted into this bag. Part of the way the Chicago fire happened is because the entire city at that point was made of wood. Do you know what I mean? Like every building was made of wood, much like your newspaper and your bags and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's this dumb thing where it's like, well, yeah, if there's any fire, this whole thing's going to go up in flames.
Yeah.
Because why the fuck would you make a whole city out of wood? Who does that? Who has bags of newspaper laying around the home?
I just think that it's time. It's time. It's time to, you know, be better with our fires and not blame people. And it's not the cow's fault. It's not Catherine O'Leary's fault. And we just need to, it's not a white lie. I think it actually happened and we need to respect.
It did happen, but we need to not blame them for it is what you're suggesting.
Exactly.
That we should free Catherine O'Leary from the obligations of feeling responsible.
Clear her name.
Clear Catherine's name. She's a good lady. And she had a nice cow, and that lantern wasn't her fault.
Cows, not the smartest.
Not the smartest animal.
Yeah. Off the record, I'm a cow.
Okay.
Boo.
Well, I think that does it. I think we've solved all the problems that we needed to solve today.
I think more than anything, we've learned that it probably is engineered. And even if it isn't, the intentional engineering of hatred and fear is part of the way that you keep these diseases spreading and dangerous in the Black and brown communities.
No wonder you're married. You're a good man. We really appreciate all the information you have in that 5'7"? You're 5'7"?
All right. Now this is turning into a hate podcast. How dare you? My driver's license says 5'11", and I stand by that. I stand by it. I'm a medium-sized man, and I'll never let you degrade me and belittle me.
Right.
All right. Sydney, tell the people where they can find you. I'm done with you. Go ahead. Tell the people.
I have a podcast called The Unofficial Expert. It's on Fridays on Forever Dog. You can catch it on Spotify and all the places that you listen to podcasts. I also have a show on Sundays on Instagram Live, because that is our lives now. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's #SidCanCook. I can't cook, but I find ways to cook in front of my terrible friends, and they try to help me. And everybody loves watching it. And having terrible comments. It's great. And oh, I'm on Instagram as JustSidBW, JustSydBW. And send me comments and DMs, because it helps my ego. Thank you.
Yes, please send her DMs, unsolicited DMs for Sydney Washington. She loves them. She can't get enough of them.
I can't get enough of them.
As always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman on Instagram and Twitter. This has been a fun one. Bye.